You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what up, Jaguar fans? It's Tony Wiggins here on Locked On Jaguars with a Monday edition of the show. Let's get right into it. First of all, today's show is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. That's right. And you can get 15% off of your Built Bar order at BuiltBar.com when you use the promo code LOCKED15. All right, so what we're going to do today, the Jaguars have had a virtual press conference today with a lot of the new additions, the guys that we didn't talk to last week. Really interested to see what the couple of guys from Detroit, Jamal Agnew and Marvin Jones, basically had to say about their roles here coming to Jacksonville. And I also listened to Philip Dorsett. So the reason why I focused on those three guys is because they play the wide receiver position. That's three people. Now, folks didn't think that Agnew was really listed as a wide receiver. He's more or less a kick returner. No. From what you juxtaposed from what he said, he's going to play some wide receiver here for Jacksonville. And he talked about how Marvin Jones helped him, along with Darrell Bevell, helped him make the transition from defense to offense. So we'll go over that because I think it has an interesting there are already three guys on the roster. There are three more. Urban says they're going to do even more at the position. How many wide receivers do the Jaguars believe that they can keep on an active roster? As opposed to, you know, in the past where guys kept five, sometimes six at the most. They already have six. They have six guys under contract. And I don't know the details of Philip Dorsett's money, but I'm sure he got some money to sign here. So it's going to be interesting to see that if he's a part of, if he's really a part of this team this year, does that leave them room to get more players at that position? Segment two, we're going to look at holes that they did not address. Or there's been this little bit of debate about best player available versus need. And sometimes you can – need doesn't necessarily have to be this year. You can somehow – and sometimes you can look at the way the contracts are constructed for next year and draft a guy for next year as long as you value him as a player. So you can have a high value on a guy and he not fit a need this year, but he fits one next year contractually based on the way that you're – it's almost like a scholarship distribution in college. You can start to view things and look at things that way and how you're going to be able to fill holes moving along and moving forward with your team while also maintaining and getting the same value. So we'll take a peek at that. And then I want to talk about this deal where everyone is saying, who are the players that you trade up for? I said earlier that two guys that I think are worth trading up for realistically, because I don't think Jamar Chase is going to be around. I think it's Waddle, because Jalen Waddle gives you an Odell Beckham type immediate presence on the football field where you have to worry about him. And then the other one is Kyle Pitts, because I think the difference between Kyle Pitts and the other tight ends are I think it's real big. And folks are saying that they believe Pitts is the best player in the draft. But I'm going to tell you why you should be careful about compensation and how we do these things and we use these formulas about compensation. And we always take the, okay, this is what you're getting in Pitts. But then on the other side, when you're looking at what you're giving up, you look at the most negative connotation or you look at the most negative side of that. And I'll show you how people do that sometimes in their assessment of trades that they are in favor of. And we'll talk about that in segment three. But right now, let's not bury it. Let's get right to it. The young guys that came in as free agents, they talked today. It's a little weird about when they were asking some of these players how – and I was in on the conference. I just didn't ask a question, but they were asking some of the players who recruited them, and some guy, Carlos Hyde, just basically was Urban, you know. So, you know, we were wondering what the dynamic is between in the early tampering period, who could talk to who and all of this stuff. It got kind of really different and sort of weird trying to figure that out. And I don't know if that's a big deal or not, but it's obvious from what Urban Meyer said, that relationship, if you listen to what Urban was talking about when he says it's hard to sign players that you don't have relationships with and you can't talk to them. That's something he's going to have to get used to, unless he's not going to sign guys in the early tampering period, because that's just the way it is. Everyone has to do that. So, you know, Jacksonville isn't any different. But the dynamic between that statement and the fact that this was a new staff, a new regime, and Urban was going to depend on his coaches to basically stand on the table and tell him about guys that he did not know about. He'll probably know way more about the college guys, and that's why the draft is so important than the NFL guys, because obviously he is going to trust Trent Baalke and the coaching staff and the scouting staff and the scouting department to give him more of that information about what the right fits are. So the danger is that we better hope he chose the right assistants, because if he's now using the assistants to help him basically build a team, that's something that you don't see a lot of in the NFL. Assistants, in every case that I've ever seen, unless they could just sort of vouch for a guy because they knew him before, and I think this is more than that. I think this is more than vouching for. This is almost like, hey, man, today you're an assistant GM and a position coach, or you're an assistant GM and a coordinator. That's a dangerous thing in the NFL, because we've seen assistants come and go. And if you're building your team based on scheme specific, or if you're building your team based on relationships between coaches and players, you better make sure that your coach is a long-term coach. One, either he's the right guy for the job, but two, what if you do so good he gets promoted? And I mean, I'm talking about, you could fall short of a championship. Jacksonville wins 11 or 12 games this year. Somebody may call Daryl Bevel to be their head coach. All right, so then you got to go to the next guy. And I guess that would be the quarterback coach, Shoddy. But even on defense, you have to be sure that you're filling the team. This is a player's league, all right? And I know they want a coach-centric team. That's the head coach. You have to be sure that – let me give you an example. If you build a house, you can't make your house specific for you and your lifestyle and expect that whoever comes in to buy it is going to want to keep it that way and change it. You may not care. You'll care if you're still the homeowner and you're just renting it and they want to come in and renovate it. And that's what will happen if you kind of allow the coaches to have too much input. I like the fact that he is doing this. I just don't know if moving forward, once he gets his foot in on it, and once he gets his feet in the NFL and he gets his toes in and he gets wet with the NFL, if he's going to continue to allow coaches to have that type of input. Because coaches and players and GMs and scouts, they all have a different point of view and a different perspective of looking at things. So that wide receiver position for me is very, very important. With Marvin Jones coming in, I think Marvin Jones is a professional pass catcher. I think that was a very good signing because of the way the room is built right now. And, of course, the fact that Daryl Bevel knows him very well. Jamal Agnew is very, very it's hard for me to really know what his exact role is going to be. But this is another one where I think that they really depended on Daryl Bevel to really, really, really tell them that they have something here. The extra pop in the passing game, the slot stuff, the short yardage stuff, all of those things that we think guys like Kadarius Toney and guys like Rondale Moore will do, they may believe they have that already on the roster with Jamal Agnew based on what his contract is. They may believe that his best football is ahead of him, and that's why they chose him to go that route. So we're all sitting there thinking, okay, they're going to add this little shifty slot guy who's going to be his next Percy Harvin. They may think they already have that. And I think it's important that when you look at the depth chart and when you look at even the message that they sent us out, that they had Jamal Agnew listed as a wide receiver. So with him as a wide receiver, Dorsett is a wide receiver who's supposed to add the speed element. Marvin Jones is your professional pass catcher and your leader in the room. With the three guys you already have in Visca, DJ Chark, who's going to be due a contract next year, who you would think is your 1A, and Colin Johnson, who's your red zone threat, you have to wonder, is there room for any more receivers? And I don't want to discuss that a little bit as we also talk about some holes that are still left. So we'll segue from the receivers to the possible holes that are still on the team and whether or not best player available is really, really going to be the way that they go. And we'll do that here in just a second on segment two of Locked On Jaguars. After I tell you about betonline.ag, man, betonline.ag is in full effect. It is live. It is ready to go. And you guys need to be going over there and putting your knowledge to the test and winning some money, because it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, the brackets, and the NHL are in full swing, and BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV as well. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. Head to the website to use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You have to use the promo code LOCKEDON to get your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. That's 50% off of your welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. All right, man, so we're getting it in today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with Locked On Today's podcast. My man Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, and he updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcast. And it's 20 minutes. It hits your heart right in the stomach early in the morning, and you'll have that information. Really, really nice to have that during your commute, too. So check out Locked On Today and follow it along wherever you get your podcast and subscribe. We're talking about the receivers. We're talking about the familiarity aspect that a lot of these coaches have with guys that they brought in. And we're going to try to attach that now to potential holes that this team still has as we head into the NFL draft. And then we'll sort of bridge that towards the end of this segment. We're going to say, now, who would you trade up for and what would it cost? And how sometimes these trade-up scenarios, especially when you look retrospectively, they don't really make sense and they're irrelevant. And that's going to be real fun for me to talk to you guys about, because there's some overused ones that's out there that try to justify why teams did what they did and why teams shouldn't have done what they did. And it's really, you have to watch the person that does it. And it's not like they're doing it on purpose, but they really, really, really can almost give you a false equivalency when you're trying to determine whether things are worth it. We'll have fun with it. You know, it's not that serious of a big deal, but it is something that you have to pay attention to. Now, they signed a lot of people, not to a lot of big deals here in Jacksonville, but they filled out a lot of spots, and it guaranteed roster spots for a lot of people that, quite frankly, you don't know if they're going to be starters on this football team, but it guaranteed roster spots. So you got 10 draft picks for the Jaguars. The question is, did what they do already allow them to just now focus on best player available? Is it easier for them now to align best player available and need? Does need actually mean need right this minute, or will need a year or two from now, which allows you to take best player available? You get where I'm coming from? So if best player available doesn't actually fit a roster need this year, where you could actually see him making an impact this year, but you know contractually there are some guys that are on your team that down the line a year or two, almost like Taven Bryan was supposed to be, where you can go, we'll need to be able to plug this guy in. That's just a game that you have to play in the NFL, and people don't realize that too. That's the part of team building that we talk about, because you're not going to be able to go out every year and sign a free agent. You're not going to, especially if you're a good team. Now, I'm not talking about bad teams. Good teams aren't going to be able to go out and just sign people every single year to fill their needs. Good teams are also not going to be able to retain everyone, because people are going to get contracts based on the fact that the team was good and they were a part and they showed that they could perform at a high level on a team that was a very good team. And therefore, they're going to get contracts. That used to happen to the Patriots all the time. And sometimes guys perform poorly on bad teams. I mean, perform good on bad teams, and they get contracts because of it. But many times you'll see guys, they'll perform well on good teams as long as they're not too old, and they'll get contracts somewhere else. You have to be prepared from a team-building standpoint to already have players in development where you can take them and plug them in. No better case for that is than the offensive line. The offensive line is the one part of a football team where teams always seem to have guys, especially the teams that get it right and don't seem like they struggle with their offensive line and with replacing players very much. They seem to be able to get that right. So there are some teams that do very well at wide receiver. Pittsburgh, for years, traditionally, has always had a guy in development. They've always had guys in development. So when it came time for Pittsburgh to let a free agent go, they could do it without a problem. And in a case like this year with Juju, they re-signed him, but they gave him a one-year deal, and he had better deals in other places. So you want to get to the point where you can start replacing from within, and you reload from within, and you have a good system of player development, guys that go from being depth guys to being starters. Because as you get better, you're going to be picking later. You know, you hope if you're Jacksonville, you're never picking this high again. You know, you're never picking at the top of the draft, and that you don't have all of these draft picks at these high priority or high value positions. So it's going to be even more and more important that they scout better for the future, and that sometimes you draft guys that are going to help you in your field. You draft something today that you can't get tomorrow. So if they're at 25, and I saw a draft last night where Quiddy Pay fell, and while schematically he may not fit, they're going to be multiple up front. He's a 6'4", 275-pound, twitchy pass rusher who puts his hand in the ground. And they're in Jacksonville now, they're saying, well, we're going to be standing up. Well, you have to look at his body and determine, are his arms long enough? Can he play at 280, 285? Over, you know, because his body's going to grow. And in 2 years, is he a 6'4", 285-pound big end when you do decide to go to a four-man front? At some point, does he, you know, gain even more weight? Marcus Spears, when he came out, was a big end. And Marcus Spears kind of grew into a defensive tackle. It happens. And you have to start projecting stuff like that. Christian Barmore, they've addressed the defensive line, but they still may get Barmore because he's such a young guy. And they may go ahead and say, you know what, he's just hard to pass up. We got guys on 1 and 2 year deals. He's a guy that in year three could turn into Chris Jones. So we're going to get him now. You have to do things like that. When you look at the Jaguars depth chart after free agency, after the early period of free agency, there are not a whole lot of holes on that team. They're going to cut people that are like under contract. I mean, everybody's going to technically be under contract when they come into camp. But, I mean, they're going to have to cut people that they've given money to or try to trade some of those players. They will. I mean, it's impossible. They have the edge. They could use some more edge rush. Here's the holes. They could get some more edge to complement and go along with Allen and Chaisson. I like where they are at off the ball linebacker, although they could add another player if he's just so good that you just can't ignore it. And with Joe Cullen's background, they just might do that. The rumor has it that they did go after Matt Judon, who's both an edge and an off. He's 6'4", 265, but he was versatile. He could guard tight ends. He could rush off the edge, but he could also play off the ball linebacker next to a Mike. So the thing is that they were looking to add that type of talent. And that's why I think about a guy like Zaven Collins, who's a Matt Judon type of player. So when folks were thinking I was crazy by saying they might do that, you have to look at high-priced free agents and first and second round picks as sort of the same. So you got to think where they were willing to add players because of what the talent level was. They could add another safety. They definitely could add another ball hawking safety or a safety that hits everything. So that brings in Trayvon Morick, and it also gives Grant in that second round area, who went to the Senior Bowl and was very good at covering, but is a little bit more of a headhunter and a guy who can play in that box, whereas Morick is like, he's like an Earl Thomas light. He just sees everything and probably grades out a little bit better than the free safety Delpit that was signed, that was drafted last year. So it's about assessing the holes or looking at the depth chart and figuring out where you can help the team long and short term. The key thing to remember in all of this, though, is you have to get the best players. You can talk about positions, positional value. You have to get the team that gets the best guys and gets the most best guys and know how to use them and put them in their spots are usually the teams that are successful over a long haul and a long period of time. So you're looking at that depth chart, they definitely need to address tight end. They're probably addressed the offensive line with one or two guys that they can develop. So you look at those late round picks, or if they get some value in the second round, I wouldn't be surprised if they snatch an interior guy, because the guys that they have are a little bit older and they can probably upgrade at least one of those spots. Always looking for swing tackles, those Walker Little types that might hang around into the late third or early fourth round. And there's a Smith kid out of East Carolina that everyone is raving about that just needs to add some strength. That's another, possibility. They might touch tight end twice. They might feel like they're okay at receiver unless something falls to them with value. They got a free agent this weekend that the wide receivers coach is very, very used to. You better hope they hit on the guys that are giving Urban these recommendations. It's good that they're recommending people that they're familiar with, but you better hope that he hit on them too. Because if they're wrong, then a lot of this stuff is going to be wrong altogether. Because if they're wrong, then no matter how right the free agent acquisition is for themselves, if they're wrong, then the player is going to be wrong. Example, Ngakoue goes to Oakland. I think Ngakoue is a good player, but I think Oakland got Gus Bradley. I don't think Gus Bradley's right. So even though Ngakoue may play well, it won't have a reflection on the team as a whole, because if I don't think Gus Bradley's very good, boom, there you go. That's the perfect point that I'm talking about. Ngakoue is perfect for Bradley, but is Bradley perfect for the Raiders? So you have to ask yourself that here about Jacksonville as well. Well, let's do this in the last segment. I'm going to talk about trades and how people always use certain examples as why you do certain things. But when they do it, they sort of slant it to, and rightfully so, they slant it to fit the way that they feel about it favorably. And you'll see exactly what I'm talking about here on Locked On Jaguars in just a second. Go to Built Bar Madness, man. What is Built Bar Madness? The same thing you see in the brackets with these hoops teams. Built Bar has their own bracket going right now, and it is about the best tasting protein bar on the market. First of all, Built Bar itself makes the best tasting protein bar on the market, bar none, because they're 100% covered in chocolate, and you swear up and down you're eating a candy bar, even though you are not. But they're going out a step further. They're trying to figure out, okay, who's the best of the best? And you've heard that phrase here used with the Jags, who the best of the best are. For today's matchup, go to @bar_built on Twitter, or go to builtbar.com, and you can vote on that bracket to see who today's matchup is. I'm going to tell you something else. You might as well just order you some Built Bars while you're there. You got to use the promo code LOCKED15. Let me tell you what that gets you. LOCKED15 gets you 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar, bar none. All right, man. So this is what we got going on. We're talking draft. We're talking compensation. All of that stuff. But if you need more draft information, the NFL draft is just weeks away, and it's time to start following our Locked On NFL Draft Duo. The Draft Dudes podcast watches every prospect so that you don't have to. And the Locked On NFL podcast is your daily draft news and mock draft podcast. Follow Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dudes on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. Heard something today from some guys that I really, really have a lot of respect for, and they were making the point about trading up for Kyle Pitts. And so I would thought it was they were talking about Kyle Pitts, whether you trade up for him or not. And I heard something similar to something that someone else had said to me before. I got a buddy of mine that's a Falcons fan. He always points out that the Falcons won the Julio deal. And I said, yeah, they won the Julio deal. I would have done it too. Julio Jones is a first ballot Hall of Famer. I was in love with Julio Jones as a player when he came out of Alabama. I had no problem with them trading those picks. But one of the ways that he justifies them is he'll go and he'll say, these are the picks that Cleveland had, and look at these guys. And he'll start naming every guy that Cleveland picked with all of the picks that Atlanta traded Cleveland. And I used to always tell him how unfair that was. And he says, why? I said, because Atlanta wouldn't have chosen those same players. You see where I'm coming from? They got Julio Jones, and I'm on your side. But don't go naming those players that Cleveland picked that didn't make it and say that's why Atlanta won the deal. Because if Atlanta had not traded for Julio Jones and had those picks, Atlanta, these guys aren't assigned a draft number. Players, prospects don't come with pick 136. This is who you are. No, those teams make those choices. So maybe the team that also could have drafted Julio Jones and didn't, Cleveland, maybe they didn't know what they were doing in the draft either, right? So that's why it is hard to do that when you're trying to figure out who won the draft and who didn't win the draft. Another thing that a lot of folks do is this. They'll go, this is what you're getting. And they'll big up what you're getting, but they'll belittle what you could get on the other end. They'll talk good about, and the reason why, and I know it, the reason why it's like that is because the higher the draftable player is, the easier it is to determine whether or not he's good. That's why he's up there. So it's less risk because he's a better player, he's a better prospect. So there are a lot of guys in the draft, if you look at some of these tight ends that were taken in the first round. And so this is another thing that we can do. We could go back and look at the Tyler Eifert of the world, the O.J. Howards of the world. We can look at all the first round tight ends and say, that's why you don't draft a tight end in the first round. That wouldn't be fair to Kyle Pitts. That wouldn't be fair. And we want to compare him to Travis Kelce, and we want to compare him to all of these guys. They weren't picked in the first round. And it'll be unfair to say, you can get a guy later. Don't do it. No. If you have an idea about a guy being good, you take him. Because most people, if they knew that George Kittle was going to be George Kittle, they wouldn't have waited till the fifth round to take him. If they knew that Travis Kelce was going to be Travis Kelce and Gronk was going to be Gronk, they wouldn't have waited until the second round to take him. No, they wouldn't have waited. Of course they would have taken him higher. You don't think if people knew James Robinson was going to be the best rookie running back in the league last year that he would have went undrafted, he would have gone undrafted? No, he wouldn't have. Of course they would have. But you just have to watch the equation to, okay, well, look at this guy and where he was picked. And then when we traded these picks away to the other team, look at who they picked. Now compare those guys to him. That team wouldn't have picked those guys. You see my point? So if you like the guy, you like the guy, period. Something else to consider, the reason why teams don't give up compensation. And it's unfair. I've always been a guy that thought it was unfair to label guys that had career-ending injuries busts. I've never labeled Kijana Carter a bust. I've never labeled Curtis Enos a bust. I've never labeled Charles Rogers a bust. Yeah, that might have been a little bit self-inflicted, but it may not have been, but still, there are some guys that just get injured. And I never label them a bust because of injury. And folks go, he is a bust because it didn't work. No, a bust to me means his talent level wasn't what you overdrafted his talent level. You overdrafted his skill level and you overdrafted his want to and desire. You can't control if someone takes a cheap shot and tears your knee to shreds. That has nothing to do with you, and that has nothing to do with you. I hope you guys understand where I'm coming from. So I don't label guys like that as busts. But the reason why is if you trade four draft picks to move up for a tight end that goes Josh Oliver on you and tears his hamstring and then breaks his foot and he's never on the field, that's not your fault. But what is your fault is you gave up four picks to go up and take a chance on a tight end. And the value for doing that is one thing to do that for a quarterback or a pass rusher or offensive tackle that gets hurt or even maybe even a wide receiver. It is quite another thing for you to do that and move up for a tight end and then he gets hurt, because anybody can get hurt now. But it's another thing for you. That's where that value comes in, and that's where, why did you give up all of those draft picks? And that's where somebody's going to look back at all of the draft picks you gave up, and if there's one tight end in there anywhere close to one of those picks that was even serviceably good, I mean, he doesn't have to be – he could be Zach Ertz. If there's a Zach Ertz in there somewhere – or if there's an Andrews in there, the guy from Baltimore, they're going to go, you could have just waited and got him and kept all your picks. That's the danger of it. The danger of it is this. You can shoot for the moon and go for Kyle Pitts because you think he's a Hall of Famer. And I always say try to draft a guy with the gold or yellow jacket. And everybody can love him to death. The thing is, you have to ask yourself, do you need all of that at that position? Do you need to take the risk and give up everything hoping that that guy is that good? Or would you take Mark Andrews right now? Would you take Dallas Goedert right now in your offense on your team and keep all of that other stuff and add other players around him? So the question is would you take Dallas Goedert and would you take Dallas Goedert or Travis Kelce if Dallas Goedert came with like three other really, really good players that you can name that are very, very good on your football team? And most people would choose the last. How many times in these trades for these all pro level players do you go, they got fleeced? We got a bounty. I'll give you a perfect example. Jacksonville. Jacksonville gave up Jalen Ramsey, got two first, a third, and a fourth. And everyone said, we knocked it out of the park. And I know part of that is because he wanted to leave. But think back. One of those players that you got was Chaisson. I don't know if you've gotten compensated or if you picked the other guys yet. But see how you change that when it's a guy that you – when teams want – when everybody was around saying we want to trade for Orlando Brown. You're like, why? What? He's not. So that's why you have to be really, really careful with a lot of these comparisons, man. But – in any event, it's a lot of fun. And you guys, I thank you for joining me today on Locked On Jaguars. We went a little bit longer today, but we had to get that in. Make sure you tune in and subscribe wherever you get your podcast here on Locked On Jaguars, because it's your team every day. We'll see you tomorrow here on Locked On Jaguars.